The Pirates of Penzance by Gilbert and Sullivan. It is a comic opera, and the setting is a rocky seashore on the coast of Cornwall and Major General Stanley's estate. The principal characters are Frederick, a dutiful boy accidentally apprenticed to pirates, the Pirate King, leader of the pirate band, Ruth, Frederick's dense nursemaid, Mabel, a young maiden loved by Frederick, and Major General Stanley, Mabel's father. When Frederick was a little lad, he proved to be so brave and daring that his father ordered his nursery maid, Ruth, to apprentice the boy to a ship's pilot. Unfortunately, Ruth was hard of hearing and not very bright. Instead of taking the boy to a ship's pilot, she apprenticed him to a pirate. When Ruth realized the terrible mistake she'd made, she was too frightened to return home to Frederick's father, so she stayed on with the pirates as a kind of piratical maid of all work. And once he found himself legally apprenticed to the Pirate King, Frederick considered it to be his duty to fulfill his indenture. Until he completed his term on his 21st birthday, he worked studiously to be the best pirate possible. But now, as the pirates toasted the end of Frederick's apprenticeship 13 years after his arrival, Frederick announced that he was leaving his criminal past. He explained to the pirates that he had only stayed with them out of a sense of duty. Now that his duty was fulfilled, he was going to make amends to society by dedicating himself to their extermination. The Pirate King agreed that extermination might be a solution to the pirates' dilemma. They could not make their piracy pay, and they didn't know why. Frederick replied that he did know why, but alas, I cannot tell you, it would not be right. "Why not? It's only 11:56, responded the Pirate King, "and you're one of us until the clock strikes 12. Realizing he was still duty-bound, Frederick explained that the pirates were too tender-hearted. They were not merciless enough. What's more, they studiously avoided attacking orphans. At this last accusation, the pirate lieutenant tried to excuse himself. "We're orphans ourselves. We know what it's like." "Yes, but it has got about," Frederick continued. "And what is the consequence? Everyone we capture says he's an orphan. The last three ships we took proved to be manned entirely by orphans. One would think that Great Britain's mercantile fleet was recruited solely from her orphan asylums. We know this is not the case." When queried as to whether he would have the pirates act totally without mercy, Frederick said, "Why, there's my problem. Till 12 o'clock, I would. After 12, I wouldn't." As Frederick prepared to leave, he voiced his concern over Ruth, who had won her middle-aged way into his boyish heart. He felt it was his duty to marry the loyal woman, but having been at sea since he was 8 years old, and never having set eyes on another woman, he wondered if he would later learn to his disappointment that she was plain. After the pirates had assured Frederick that there are the remains of a fine woman about Ruth, the youth promised that if Ruth was as fair of face as she hopefully claimed to be, he would marry her. Finally, before leaving, Frederick called to the Pirate King to forsake his life of crime and return to civilization. The king refused, observing, "Oh, better far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly than play a sanctimonious part with a pirate head and a pirate heart. Away to the cheating world go you, where pirates are all well-to-do, but I'll be true to the song I sing and live and die a pirate king." Frederick and Ruth then took leave of the pirates. Soon they came across Major General Stanley's beautiful young daughters. Clearly, Frederick quickly realized, as women went, Ruth was plain. "You told me you were as fair as gold." "And, master, am I not so? And now I see you're plain and old. I'm sure I'm not a jot so. Upon my innocence you play. I'm not the one to plot so. Your face is lined, your hair is gray. It's gradually got so." Then, turning his back on the old nursemaid, Frederick approached Stanley's daughters with the tale of his sordid past, asking if there was not one of the girls who would obey the call of duty and help him reform by marrying him. While the other sisters rejected Frederick, Mabel Stanley claimed that she would marry him as a matter of duty. Mabel's sisters, however, questioned her sense of duty. The question is, had he not been a thing of beauty, would she be swayed by quite as keen a sense of duty? Now the pirates, who had followed Frederick and were lurking nearby, made an appearance. Their curiosity was also piqued by Stanley's lovely daughters. Frederick urged the girls to flee, but they were not fast enough. The pirates abducted them with the intention of taking them in marriage. Mabel fiercely warned that she and her sisters were wards in Chancery and that their father was a major general. At the mention of his name, the great Major General Stanley appeared in person, announcing himself as the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fights historical, from Marathon to Waterloo, in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations, both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news, with many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. For my military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventury, has only been brought down to the beginning of the century. But still, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. When General Stanley learned that the pirates were about to marry his daughters against their will, he turned to the miscreants and recounted a sad story. He himself was an orphan, Stanley claimed, and the only things left to him in this world were his dear daughters. Hearing this, the kind-hearted pirates wept at the thought of splitting up an orphan's family and immediately released the girls. But while this genial lie saved the general's daughters, it also disturbed his sleep. He spent many hours in the family crypt, in torment of conscience, mourning his dishonor. Frederick tried to console the general by pointing out that if he had not spun the tale, the pirate surely would have taken his daughters to wife. But Stanley felt that he had shamed the dead ancestors upon whose tombs he wept. To this, Frederick replied, "But you forgot, sir. You only bought this property a year ago, and the stucco in your baronial hall is scarcely dry." This made no difference to the general. "Frederick, in this chapel are ancestors. You cannot deny that. With the estate, I bought the chapel and its contents. I don't know whose ancestors they were, but I know whose ancestors they are, and I shudder to think that their descendant by purchase, if I may so describe myself, should have brought disgrace upon what I have no doubt was an unstained escutcheon." General Stanley was finally consoled when Frederick revealed that he was prepared to exterminate the pirates that very night with the help of the local police, who were in fact quaking at the thought of battling bloodthirsty pirates. A few hours before the attack was to begin, Ruth and the pirate king approached Frederick, begging him to listen to them. Frederick had been the victim of a terrible paradox, they explained. He had been born on February 29th. Therefore, if his life were counted by birthdays, he was only a little over 5 years old. Frederick found this amusing, but of no importance whatsoever, until someone pointed out that the terms of his indenture as a pirate did not expire until his 21st birthday, which would fall when he was 84. "We insist on nothing," Ruth added, well aware of Frederick's weakness. "We content ourselves with pointing out to you your duty." Against such an argument, Frederick's resistance broke. "Duty is before all. At any price, I will do my duty." Once more a reluctant but dutiful pirate, Frederick revealed General Stanley's unatoned falsehood. "It breaks my heart to betray the honored father of the girl I adore," he told the pirate king. "But as your apprentice, I have no alternative. General Stanley is no orphan." At this, the pirate king vowed to wreak vengeance fiftyfold on General Stanley. Frederick bade farewell to his beloved Mabel, who pled with him to stay. "They have no claim," she cried. "But duty's name," Frederick responded. "The thought my soul appalls, but when stern duty calls, I must obey." In desperation, Mabel ran to inform the police of Frederick's return to piracy and charged them to now do their duty and capture the dastardly pirates. The police, hidden near General Stanley's estate, did not have long to wait. The pirates presently came up the road, singing just above a whisper, "Let's vary piracy with a little burglary." General Stanley, awakened by their bungled march, emerged from the house. Then Stanley's daughters appeared, explaining the sounds they heard as the wind rustling through the trees, and wishing to find out why their father was out of bed on such an unsettled night. At that juncture, the pirates came out of hiding and announced their intentions to kill the general and kidnap his daughters. Mabel begged Frederick to save her father. Frederick, still duty-bound, refused to intervene. But just as things looked truly sticky, the police leapt out of hiding and gave battle. Unfortunately, the policemen were no match for the pirates and were quickly disarmed. Once again, all appeared lost. "To gain a brief advantage you've contrived," the police sergeant announced boldly, "but your proud triumph will not be long-lived." To this, the pirates responded, "Don't say you're orphans, for we know that game." But the policemen were unfazed. "On your allegiance," the sergeant answered, "we've a stronger claim. We charge you yield. We charge you yield in Queen Victoria's name." The pirates surrendered themselves immediately, for, above all, they loved their queen. As the pirates were rounded up, Ruth stood to defend her longtime friends. "They are no members of the common throng. They are all noblemen who have gone wrong." General Stanley, his own heart now softened, pardoned the pirates and presented them with an unexpected gift. "Peers will be peers, and youth will have its fling. Resume your ranks and legislative duties, and take my daughters, all of whom are beauties." This pronouncement left everyone happy. Mabel and Frederick were reunited, the former pirates and Stanley's daughters were wed, and the sergeant of police, having longingly eyed Ruth throughout the theatrical display, presented Ruth with a bouquet of flowers. General Stanley felt he had done very well. "My military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventury, has only been brought down to the beginning of the century. But still, in getting off my daughters, 8 or 9 or 10 in all, I've shown myself the model of a modern major general." The Pirates of Penzance is unique among Gilbert and Sullivan's comic operas in that it was first staged not in Britain but in the United States, opening at New York's Fifth Avenue Theater on December 31, 1879. Gilbert's story pokes fun at the Victorian sense of duty. Frederick, a virtual slave of duty, ends up in a dutiful plot to kill the father of the girl he loves. At the same time, the cowardly policemen, though they sorrow for the criminals they are called upon to capture, actually play the heroes. Beneath the humor, however, runs a serious current, questioning blind obedience to any standard or ideal without consideration for human feelings or needs.